Good morning. This is the Faith Builders program coming to you from Oasis Christian Center, a family church in Smith Station, Alabama. We invite you to listen to Pastor Rock as he ministers the Word of God to us. Our church is a non-denominational Word of Faith church. We hope that this program is a blessing to you and that you will tell your friends and relatives to tune in. Now here is Pastor Rock.
And let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus over the rest of this service this day. And Father, I thank you that your people are hungry and they're ready to hear. And Father, I thank you that they will receive revelation knowledge from your word. We're hungry for it. We want greater revelation knowledge of your word and things that'll help us to grow and to become more like Christ. We just thank you, Father, for showing us, leading us, guiding us, and opening the eyes of our understanding this day to see and hear. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ask, if you will, to go in your Bibles to Romans 12 and 18. And we're speaking on little foxes today. Could have titled this a lot of different things. And that's kind of our thing. We study, like, everything. And then the title, we really, kind of just throw the title together, to be honest with you. I mean, the title, we have no idea. Anyway, Romans 12 and 18. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Romans 12 and 18. Try not to argue with anybody. Try not to fight with anybody. Proverbs 29 and 9. There's no use arguing with a fool, for his ranting and raving prevent you from making a case and settling the argument in a calm way. Proverbs 20 and 3 in the Passion Translation. A person of honor will put an argument to rest. I like that. A person of honor will put an argument to rest. Only the stupid want to pick a fight. Isn't that good? These are some really good scriptures. Matthew 6:34, this is in the Message. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Now this is what we do when we argue. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen. Now I believe that's a word for today. You know, don't get worked up. There's so many things going on in the country. There's so many things going on in our lives. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen. Acts 9 and 15 in the Message says, but the Master said, don't argue. Don't argue. How many of y'all have ever argued? We all have. And sometimes we've just been lured into it. Sometimes we were like SpongeBob. And I know you're going to wonder, what am I talking about? I saw a newsreel one day, and on the newsreel, the police had arrested SpongeBob. And this is no joke. SpongeBob was, he was being carted away. And him and this other cartoon character had literally got in a fight. And they were going fisticuffs. They were just beating each other down. It was real. It wasn't staged. And the policeman, one of the statements he said is, SpongeBob came and he was ready to fight when he came that day. Some people are ready to argue when they get in our presence. Oh, they're ready to pick a fight. They're ready to pick an argument. One scripture says their mouths is filled with arguments. And that's a lot of people today. Amen? I don't know. Life is too short. I just, I done argued all I want. I didn't say I argued all I'm ever going to argue, because I'm sure I'll get pulled into something, as we all do. Philippians 2 and 14 in the Easy version says, whatever you're doing, do not complain and do not argue. Genesis 45 and 24 in the Easy translation says, Joseph sent his brothers to start their journey. And as they left, he said to them, this might be the blessing I need to give y'all as we're going out today. As they left, he said to them, do not argue with each other on your way home. Maybe that's what I need to speak over everyone today. Do not argue with each other on your way home today. I know I need to hear it sometimes, don't y'all? Romans 14:1 in the Easy, it says, it is difficult for some Christians to trust God completely about everything. You should accept people like that as your friends. Do not argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. Jeopardy music. 2 Timothy 2:23-24, the Passion Translation. Stay away from all the foolish arguments of the immature. Now let's address this for a second. I don't know about you guys, but a lot of the stuff that we argue about is stupid stuff. It's foolish stuff. It's little bitty stuff. Get drug into it and it's over nothing. It's over, how far is it here from here to Atlanta? Well, it's 98 miles. Well, no, I looked it up last night at 93. No, it's 89. I go this way and it's 87. I don't know. You're going the wrong way. You're definitely doing the wrong thing because it wouldn't be that distance for you. We argue about stupid stuff that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. And we have to be right about it. Thank you very much. We'd rather be right than have the peace of God. That's the shame part of it. Stay away from all the foolish arguments of the immature, for their disputes will only generate more conflict. For a true servant of our Lord Jesus will not be argumentative. Okay, the definition of argumentative is given to express divergent or opposite views, quarrelsome, contrary, having or showing a tendency to disagree or agree with other people in an angry way. Okay, I'll give you an example. This is probably 25, 30 years ago. I was in a Bible bookstore. And to me, when we used to have Bible bookstores, I can't think of any that we have now, but when we used to have them, it was like, that was my happy place. I'd go to the Bible bookstore and you know, I can't buy all the books, but I want all the books. And I'm just so happy. I'm reading a little bit of this one, a little bit of that one, and I'm trying to determine which book am I going to get today. And I'm just in such a happy place. And I was in this happy place in this little bitty Bible bookstore in Columbus, and I was having a time all by myself, just having a good time. This person saw that I had picked up this book, and I'm going to tell you what it was. It was a Norman Vincent Peale book. And it was The Power of Positive Thinking. And I need to give you a little thing on that. The reason he named it that, he really wanted to name it The Power of Positive Faith. Because really the book is all about faith. But he didn't name it The Power of Positive Faith because at the time that they released the book, he knew if he did that, that most of the people in the United States, the second it was branded with a religious, this is a religious book, that nobody would see it. So he did it the other way, The Power of Positive Thinking. But everybody branded him New Age the second he did that. And he wasn't New Age, but people felt like that he was. And, you know, he's taboo. You should stay away from anything he's got. I'm just looking for a book. I just want something that's going to inspire me and it'll lift my spirits and strengthen me. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just enjoying myself. And this lady sees that I have his book in my hand. And she said, "You don't need to buy that book. You need to put that book down because that book's bad. That guy's New Age. That's occult stuff. You need to get rid of that." Now I'm thinking, that ain't all I'm thinking, but I'm definitely thinking that. Who are you? Where did my happy place just go? Because I'm no longer thinking about the nice happy thoughts in the book. You understand? I'm thinking about this combative person, argumentative person, and I don't remember getting into an argument with her. I remember not agreeing with her, and finally just like walking off, and then I bought the book anyway, and having thoroughly enjoyed it, read it many times at home. It's very uplifting. It's a great book, and especially if you know the backstory, the reason he did what he did. It's great. He wrote a lot of uplifting stuff. Okay, I said all that to say this. I was trying to be lured, not necessarily by that lady, but by the enemy who is behind the person. The enemy is trying to get me into an argument Because he's got to, he owns that realm. He owns it. It belongs to him. I mean, we step over into the realm of argument, we're losing finances, we're losing peace, we're having marriage problems, things that wouldn't normally, every evil work steps in when we step into that area. Can you see it? And he's got to get us to cross the line. He's got to get us over there in his realm, or he can't touch us that way. I mean, my peace is mine to keep, or I can give it away and go in a 20-minute argumentative thing with that woman. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, so I've got to recognize, and you've got to recognize when things are trying to draw us into an argument, it's the devil behind it. He is always behind it because he is the author of division, and he knows it'll take from us. Steal, kill, and destroy, that's his method of operation, John 10:10. He's wanting to take from us, so we must be very careful about getting into arguments. Now, when we get in an argument, we allow ourselves to get all worked up about something. I mean, we get all worked up about what type of milk you should drink. I drank the 2%. That's what I drink. That's the best. That's the God milk. God said, that's the one right there. I've had people tell me, well, we bake our own bread, and that's the only kind of bread that you're supposed to have biblically. That's the only kind of thing that you can actually... Jesus, this person is crazy, but I got that crazy stare. It's coming on me, God. Help me, Jesus. Help me. Please help me, Lord. Please help me. Because I want to show them the way of God more perfectly. I want to show them, as Wanda put on her post this week, I want to show her a holy hush. That's what I want to show them. I want to show them a holy hush, Father God. And you can use me any way you'd like to use me in that holy hush. Please, Father God, please. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You've been there, you've done it. Got the t-shirt. Song of Songs 2:15 says, catch the foxes for us. Our vines now have flowers and they'll soon give us fruit. So catch the little foxes before they destroy our vineyards. In the same Song of Songs, and I can't tell you which translation this is. I apologize for that. You must catch the troubling foxes, those sly little foxes that hinder our relationship. For they raid our budding vineyard of love to ruin what I've planted within you. Will you catch them and remove them from me? We will do it together. That's a little fox. That looks so cute. It looks real cute when Gracie's got it in her mouth. Our big old lab, she totes the littlest little, she won't tear it up. She won't destroy it, but she'll carry things around. She has a little prayer bear she carries around. And, I mean, she has these little things that she everywhere. And I said all that to say this. This is a little thing that looks harmless. You and I may have been raised where our parents were arguing like cats and dogs. They're fighting. They're saying wrong words into the atmosphere. They're saying wrong words to themselves, over themselves. They're saying wrong words over us as their children. And it's not harmless. That's what you've got to understand. Those little foxes, you say, I understand about arguments. There's nothing wrong with arguments. That's what a natural man would say. We're a spiritual man. We recognize the dangerous nature of arguments because we're spiritual people. We're not natural, not just natural people. Y'all still with me? You going home? Because these little foxes can affect your finances. These little foxes can affect your marriage. These little foxes can affect your safety, your favor, your prayers. It can hinder your prayers. These little arguments can hinder your prayers. Because the Bible tells us if the husband and wife are not in agreement and they're not treating each other respectfully, they have to be careful of that because their prayers will be hindered. And one translation that says their prayers will be blocked. If we're not showing proper respect. And when we're arguing, most of the time we're out of it. We cross the line most of the time in any kind of argument or debate. It crosses the line, the voice gets too loud, we want to prove our point too much, we want to be right too much, and it's all pride trying to show its ugly head. That's all of us. Little foxes spoil the vines. They ruin the fruit that's on the vines. We have fruit that is on our vines that God is wanting to bless us with. And these little foxes, these little arguments are coming up. And we're allowing them into our lives, and we're allowing the devil just to steal our fruit. Steal the blessings that God wants to give us over some stupid thing about how far Atlanta is, or when we went to this place, or when we did that, or when we went to the restaurant, and the everything about it, what we're saying is not perfect. It's not exactly 100% right because our memories are not 100% right, and so we get in an argument about it. It's the devil. I'm telling you, the devil's in it, and we got to see him that he's in it. He's that little fox that's doing this stuff. In that little argument, it blocks the answer we've been praying about. It drains the power of God from our lives. That little argument, that little fox, short circuits our blessing. Ruins my fruit. Strife is a little fox. A natural man, somebody naturally thinking, will say, that's foolish. It's just foolish. The little fox has opened the door to every evil work. James 3 and 16 in the King James says, for where envy and strife is, arguing. There is confusion. Strife is arguing. There is confusion and every evil work. It didn't say you got to have a lot of it. This is a little fox. A little argument. It'll mess up something great, big. A huge blessing God wants to give us. It'll mess it up. Been there, done it. 1 Corinthians 14 and 33. For God is not the author of confusion. You ever notice when you get in an argument, there tends to be a lot of confusion that'll just take over. And it's because the enemy is in the middle of confusion. God is he's the author of peace. He is the prince of peace. But the enemy is like the prince of confusion. Arguing causes confusion. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, what I keep saying is, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Because the natural man says, arguing has nothing to do with my finances. There's no connection there, but there is in the Spirit. Well, arguing has nothing to do with my marriage. Me and my mate weren't even arguing, but it has an effect. It's connected. You just don't see us connected, but it's connected in the Spirit. Arguing affects things in our lives we don't know that are being affected. It's a little fox. It looks like a little bitty thing. It's nothing. But little hinges swing big doors. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 11, this is in the Passion Translation. Aspire to lead a calm and peaceful life as... Okay, now this is going to be a really good one for staying out of stuff. As you mind your own business. Now I need the Jeopardy theme song really good right now. You know, if the lady in the Bible bookstore would just kept her... I'm trying to think of the right words. I'm really working on this. If she'd just shut up. That was straight and direct to the point. If she'd have just stayed shut up, not trying to mind my business, then I wouldn't have lost my peace that day. It says, this scripture, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 11, this is the Passion Translation. Mind your own business, earn your living, just as we've taught you. Mind your business. So many times we get in arguments because we're trying to mind somebody else's business, trying to tell them how to spend their money. Trying to tell them where they need to be going. Tell them what they need to be doing. We don't even know what we're supposed to be doing. And we're going to tell somebody else what they should be doing. Is it true? Proverbs 13 and 2, and this is in the Passion. The words of the wise are kind and easy to swallow. But the unbeliever just wants to pick a fight and argue. Just like SpongeBob that day. He just came to pick a fight. You'd have had to have seen it. You'd really got a lot out of it. Proverbs 17 and 19 in the Passion. If you love to argue, then you must be in love with sin. Isn't that a good scripture? Doesn't that make it kind of plain? Oh my God, doesn't that give the little fox a different kind of look? If you love to argue, that's Proverbs 17, 19, the passion. If you love to argue, then you must be in love with sin. Proverbs 22 and 10, say goodbye to a troublemaker, and you'll say goodbye to quarrels, tension, strife, and arguments. For a troublemaker traffics in shame. Proverbs 26, 21 in the Passion. Add fuel to the fire and the blaze goes on. So add an argumentative man to the mix and you'll keep strife alive. Get this one. Proverbs 18 and 6. A senseless man jumps head first into an argument. He's just asking for a beating for his reckless words. I can think of a time I did that when I was about 18. I said something very disrespectful to somebody that was in the 300 club at Central. And, you know, that meant they could bench press 300 pounds. I could bench press, you know, 50 pounds. I mean, I probably weighed 75 pounds. Boy, I was, man, in shape. The only thing that I, it was in my mouth. I had a mouth on me. I'm so glad he overlooked my stupid jumping head first into an argument, because I would have got the worst beat down of my life. I can guarantee it. It would have been epic. Luke 9:46. The disciples began to argue and became preoccupied with who would be the greatest. Pride. John 3:25. An argument started between John's disciples and a particular Jewish man about baptism. They're arguing about baptism. I remember years ago, I've told this before, there was a gentleman, I told you last week that Ish and Bonnie actually gave this 20-something years ago. They donated this. They knew it was on my heart and they felt like God told them to do it and they gave it. It's been such a blessing. This is what I was believing for when we first started the church. But I was aware when we first started the church, there's no way. We've got everything to buy. It's going to be a long time. I'm not even thinking that way. We had two really good carpenters come to our church. And I loved them both. I mean, and they were both gifted. And this one asked me, he said, can I build you a pulpit? And I said, no, I'd rather you not. I said, you're really good at what you do, but I'm waiting on something else. And I didn't go into detail. I don't try to do that because a lot of times that could be manipulation. You're trying to tell somebody what you're believing for them to hear it and to bring it to pass, and that wasn't the case. And then this other guy, unbeknownst to me, he was a gifted carpenter. He saw the need, and he didn't ask. He went ahead and built it, and he dropped it off at church on a Saturday afternoon. And it was beautiful. It was very pretty. You could see all of his work in it, and they were equal in value as far as their ability to build and stuff. And it was so pretty, and I thanked him for it, and I thought, I can't turn his gift down. He doesn't know what I've been believing for. I mean, it's going to offend him so bad. And so in my heart, I said, I'm not gonna argue about this. It's something I'm believing for this for later on, but whenever later is, it doesn't matter. Anyway, they put it in the church. The next day, of course, you know, the other guy saw it sitting there, said, where did it come from? Said, well, he built it and he donated it. Well, you didn't want the one I was going to donate. That's not true. It's not true. I wanted it, but I was believing for something else. And he just, out of the goodness of his heart, went ahead and did it. He didn't ask. And I received it because of the way it was done. You understand? It was nothing malicious in it. I'm not trying to argue. I'm not trying to cause strife in any way. Some people set out to cause strife. I get that. But that wasn't the purpose here. That's not the intent of my heart. And he left the church. He never came back. Over a pulpit. I mean, I can't even imagine that one in heaven. Talking about why he left the church that God called him to. Oh, well, it's because of the pulpit. Because somebody else built the pulpit that I was going to build. You know what the Lord may tell him? I had him build the pulpit. He may tell him, I had him build that pulpit because you needed to grow up. I mean, it is true. That is truth. Because sometimes I've had that happen in my life. something that really threw me off like that, and it was because the Lord wanted to grow me up. So how do we stand against arguing and being drawn into arguments? I'm going to go over these quickly. Surrender your right to be right. Well, I know it's not 98 miles to Atlanta. I know it's 92. Surrender your right to be right and there won't be an argument. Just tell them it might be, that might be right. I don't know what it is exactly. I've never measured it. Number two, mind your own business. That'll keep us out of a whole bunch of arguments. Mind your own business. Number three, this is Hebrews 12 and 14 actually. In every relationship, be swift to choose peace over competition. Because sometimes that's what arguing does. It gets us in competition with each other on who's going to win that argument or who's right or who's wrong. Proverbs 17 and 14, this is in the Passion. Don't be the one who is quick to quarrel. Quick. I've told you I've got three speeds now, slow, slower, and slowest, and it's helping me tremendously. But if we're going to stay out of arguments, we're going to have to be slow about putting our opinion out there. We're going to have to be slow about getting into a quarrel, jumping in it. Don't jump into it head first as we were just read, or you'll get a beat down. It says, don't be one who is quick to quarrel, Proverbs 17 and 14, for an argument is hard to stop, and you never know how it will end. So don't even start down that road. Another way to stay out of an argument is hold your tongue. Be slow, very slow to speak. Quick to listen, slow to speak. James 1:19. Another way to stand against arguing and being drawn into arguments is don't participate. I know this is beyond us, but you know we don't have to participate. It takes two people to argue, and if we don't say anything, we're not in that argument. We're not involved in that drama. Some people want you in their drama. Resign from the cast. Don't get in the drama. Don't give your opinion. We don't have to give our opinion about everything. We don't have to put our two cents in every situation. Another way not to get in is ask God to help you understand and to see the other person's point of view. Then if you still don't agree, give them grace to have a different opinion than you. Be respectful of them. Don't talk down to them because they don't agree with you. There again, that's crossing the line over into pride. Another way is to put space between you. You don't hate them, but to keep God's peace, you put a distance between yourself and the argumentative person. Because some people have a natural tendency to argue, and they're going to argue no matter what. So you just put yourself out of their peripheral vision, so to speak. In Acts 15, 37 and 40, and I'm coming to a close, Barnabas wished to take Mark, also known as John, along with him, but Paul disagreed. He didn't think it was proper to take the one who had deserted them in south central Turkey, leaving them to do their missionary work without him. It became a heated argument between them, a disagreement so sharp that they parted from each other. Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas as his partner. They went their separate ways. After the believers prayed for them, asking for the Lord's favor on their ministry, they left. Romans 12 and 18, King James again. For it is, if it's possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And 2 Timothy 2 and 24 again from the Passion. For a true servant of the Lord will not be argumentative. Ask Deborah if she would come at this time.